great. I love that. I think in the midst of darkness that is going on, there's a time to grieve, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to give our soul rest and to seek out joy. And so that is what I want us to do today. And I have some, in the spirit of having some fun, I made some slides because I thought that would be fun. So our topic today is the joy of giving. Now, we can take a pause with that because we can state we are here in a church building. And giving, a lot of times with a message, goes hand in hand with tithing, which it is a beautiful thing. And I'm so glad Tim has preached on it and shared on that. But the message I want to talk today about is not about tithing, but about giving. And the way that there is joy in the giving. We can think of joy in giving. We can think about Christmas. We can think about giving presents or someone's birthday and bringing a present to them. This is more the heart of the giving that I want to talk about this morning. Our verse for today is Acts 20, verse 35. And this is Paul speaking. And he said, "In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. So I grew up homeschooled, and so I have a question for you all, because there are some things in my childhood that maybe were a little different than everybody else. And so I have a question for you. Did you, I don't know if this was just unique to me growing up or if this was a thing everybody did. I grew up going to events a lot as a family. That was one of the things that my parents wanted to do, was we'd go to a family. We'd go to camp as a family. We'd go to graduation parties as a family. We'd go to birthday parties as a family. Did anybody else go to parties as a family growing up? Yes? Yes? Okay, great. So this isn't one of those you're just homeschooled things that's happened. So that's great. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate that. So maybe you remember this experience where you would go to a graduation party or a birthday party, and there would be a family gift. Not each one of you wouldn't give a gift. There would be a family gift. And I remember being in the car. We'd go to graduation parties, and my mom would say, "I wrapped up a space pen," and that's what we're giving to the person. My parents were really into space pens. They thought it was cool you could, write upside down or whatever. My dad always said that other countries just invented a pencil. America had to invent a pen, a space pen. Anyway, so we would go. Sometimes I wouldn't know what the gift was, right, though? I don't know if you experienced that. And so at the time when they're opening presents, they're like, "Oh, this is from the Becker family." And so you lean over and be like, "Oh, what do we give? Oh, that's cool. Okay, nice." You know, but there wasn't a connection to that, right? There wasn't a connection to that gift because it was a family gift. Now, you relate that, you switch that and you contrast that to giving a gift that you personally picked out. I specifically remember when I was really little, my dad took me shopping to buy a gift for my mom. I don't remember if it was Mother's Day or Christmas or her birthday. I really don't remember. But I remember I was small because there was all these shelves, and there were shelves above me, so I was short. I was little. But what I remember walking through these aisles, and I stopped at this one thing, and it was a picture frame. It was all made of glass. The rim was this plastic frame, and it was glass with two pictures painted on either side. One was a little boy and one was a little girl, and I believe they were praying. But I remember it so distinctly. I can still remember that bright, bright blue and that deep red, that the boy was wearing the blue and the girl was wearing the red, and I could still remember the details of that because I thought it was so beautiful. And I went, "Dad, this is what I want to give Mom. I want to give Mom this." And he's like, "That's what you want to give Mom?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I want to give my mom." And I just thought it was the most beautiful, wonderful thing, and that's why I wanted to give it to her. Now, thinking about it years later, my poor mother had to have this gift that did not match her decor. But as a kid, I remember she left it on her bathroom sink for years and years and years. And it made me so happy every time I'd walk by and I'd see that gift because I thought it was beautiful and I loved her and I wanted to give it to her. Now, it didn't match. She had this beautiful country blues theme that went around, and I go, "Man, I hope she loved it, even though it didn't match her decor." And if you're a parent with kids who have been given a gift, I'm sure you can know what that's like. You go, my kid gave this to me. It doesn't match. It doesn't go. But my kid loves me and they gave it to me. And I think when we're starting to look at this joy of giving, we start first with us. So the first point is you. Because it's not about giving a family gift. It's not about, oh, we're just giving. It's about, it's individual to each one of us. This blessing of giving is individual to each one of us. And we're God's children, right? We are God's children. So we get to give him gifts as he, as our Father. John 1 verse 12 says this. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So I think the first step for us to realize and experience this joy of giving, I think we have to start by understanding that we are giving to our Father, who we love and who loves us. But we love him first, right? Because he loved us. 1 John 4:19 says this. We love because he first loved us. And I think this is something we have to understand if we're going to understand the joy of giving. It's understanding our identity and who we are as children of God, and that we're giving to our Father. That we love because he loved us first. And I think it will help us understand and find the beauty and the joy in it, because it's beyond the gift. It doesn't say you are blessed for your gift. It says you are blessed in the giving. So I want to read Philippians 4, 10 through 12. It's kind of a big passage, but it's beautiful. And it shows this aspect of, it's about the giving. It's about your heart in the giving. Philippians 4, starting in verse 10. This is Paul writing to the Philippians, and he says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. It's not just about the gifts. It's about you being a giver. It's about you being a giver. We're going to continue to read. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Do you see this, friends? Our gifts are to each other, but they are also a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to the Lord. And may God, verse 19, and may God and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. But do you see this? Do you see this as your, it's not about the gift, it's about giving. It's about your heart giving to the Lord. You're giving a gift to God when you give to others. It's a gift to your Father. And it's not about the gift. This whole first section, the whole beginning was Paul saying, I don't need your gifts. I don't need it. I know how to live with little. I know how to live with plenty. But I want you to be blessed in your giving. I want you to be blessed by giving. So I receive your gift, and I am excited that you will receive the blessing of giving. So I think the first step in finding the joy of giving, it starts with you. Because to find the joy in giving, it's not about the family gift. It's about the gift that you give, the gift that comes from your heart to God, your heart to the Father's heart. But you could say, though, that what I have to give, when you start thinking about yourself and you start thinking about what do I have to give, what I have to give is so small. There's this incredible hymn that I love, and there's a line in it that says, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small." Even if we had the whole world to give to the Lord, it would still be so small. And yet we come and we go, what do we have to give to the Lord? And we could start saying, I don't have much. In regards to what is needed, I don't have much. What I have to give is so small. But again, is it about the gift or is it about the giving? Tim has preached about the widow with the two small coins, right? That's point number two, is your two coins. First, it starts with you, and then it comes in your two coins. Let's read this. Luke 21, verse 1 through 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting in their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Do you remember when Tim has preached about this before and how he shared the commentary about these two small coins being worth practically nothing? Like, they're worth less than a penny, I believe. So this gift that Jesus said, she gave more. What you have to give, what you have to give may seem, in the whole grand scheme of things, worth nothing. And maybe to the world it is. Maybe the amount of money you put in the offering basket or the amount of money that you give or whatever you give to someone else, maybe it is, in comparison to everything else, worth nothing. But if you are giving your everything, if you are giving your everything, Jesus says that is the most. That is the most. And I want to be careful here too. When I'm up here, I don't mean to ask, and I'm not saying that you should empty your bank account and give it to the Lord. I think God has called maybe very few specific people to do that in different times in their life. I'm not saying that. I'm not asking that. And if you do feel God is saying that to you, I ask you pray about that a lot. That's not what I'm saying right now. But I'm saying if you give who you are, you give your everything, everything that you have to give, that is the most. Jesus will say, that is the most. Do you see my daughter, what she gave? Do you see my son, what he gave? They gave their everything, and that is the most. So who are we to judge what our gift is worth? Who are we to judge to say, this is too small to give to Jesus? What can Jesus do with this gift? What can Jesus do with my life? What can Jesus do with me? What can he do with what I have to give? Again, it might not be a lot in the grand scheme of things, but if you are giving your everything, this is the most to Jesus. But what if we didn't give? Think about these stories. What if we didn't give? There's a story that I think we know quite well. Some of us, anyway, I think we know it. We're going to read about it. But do you remember a little boy? He had 5 little loaves and 2 fish. Do you remember? He had these. What if he didn't give it? But let's read it. Let's read it. What did he do? He had five loaves, two little fish. What did he do? Let's read about it. In John 6, 5 through 9, it says, when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming towards him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already knew. He already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simeon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? How far will they go among so many? But he gave them to Jesus. The point is, he gave them to Jesus. He gave his very little, that even half a year's wages would barely give everyone a bite. He goes, I don't have much. Here's my lunch that maybe would feed him. And he goes, I'll give it to Jesus. He gave his everything to Jesus. And what happened? Well, Jesus multiplied it so much so that John 6, 12 through 13 says this. When they had all had enough to eat, not just a bite. Verse 12, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, this is Jesus, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. He gave everything and let Jesus do what Jesus does best. Some people say things like, oh, it's in God's hands. It is, but what did you give God first? Are you letting God just do things without you participating? Are you putting it into God's hands, what you have, and then letting it be in God's hands? Give what you have and then say it is in God's hands. What if he hadn't given his loaves? So what if he said it was too small? The people wouldn't have been fed that day. That's what I want us to remember, is if we say, if we judge ourselves and we say what we have to give to God is too small, who's not going to be fed? Don't limit God. Do you know what else Jesus was given? Do you know what else was brought to Jesus? I know you know. I know you know. But do you remember? Jesus was brought the sick and the deaf and the blind and the lame and the demon-possessed and the dead. And what happened? Jesus healed them. You might say, I don't have anything to give. But bring what you have to Jesus. Bring what you have to Jesus. Matthew 15, 30. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the cripple, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Bring what you have to Jesus. Bring what you have to Jesus. Because again, it's not about the gift. It's about the giving. You are blessed in your giving. There is joy in giving. Bring what you have to Jesus and let him do the rest. Bring what you have and let Jesus bring his kingdom come. It is better to give than to receive. There is so much joy in that. It is wonderful, especially if you ask a sick person, it is wonderful to be healthy. It is wonderful to be healthy. But if you bring your sickness to Jesus and he heals you, your life will be forever changed. You're never going to be the same. It's really wonderful to have a lot of money in your bank account, but when you're standing in your kitchen and there's no food in the refrigerator, and you have no car to go get food. You have no internet to order food. You have no way to get food, and you're standing there. You've had lunch, but it is dinner time, and you're standing there with your people, and you have given your life to God. You're saying, I'm here for God, but you don't know what you're going to eat. And someone knocks on your front door with bags and bags of groceries while you are standing there. You will never forget that for the rest of your life. And that is a true story. You will never forget it. It is more blessed to give yourself to God and watch him do what he does best. See, I think God wants us to know him, to know him. He wants us to be changed. And so when we give ourselves to him, when we give our gifts to God, there is joy and blessing in that. He wants us to have joy. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. So point number three is joy. Joy. And I've got a little simple math equation for you in our next slide. One U plus your two coins equals joy. And equals joy. You and what you have to bring and what you have to bring, even if it's just two small coins, it brings joy. There's so much joy in giving God what you have. Giving God your little and watching him do what he can do. There is joy. Watching God do what he does with your life. When we think we are not great, but God says, I don't need someone who is great. I just need your yes. When we think we don't have much, all he needs is our surrender. There's so much joy in what you have being enough to give. There's so much joy in seeing what God will do. There's joy in giving to others. There's joy in expanding our worlds beyond ourselves and living out the truth that God is working, that he will take what we have and he will make it into something bigger. There's joy in taking our little and sharing it, putting it in the hands of Jesus. There's joy in giving Jesus our two coins, our two small fish and our five loaves, and watching what he's going to do with it. God says you are blessed. You are blessed to give. Now, because of time, there was some other things I was going to share, because there's an aspect I don't want you to walk away thinking what I'm saying is that you will be blessed if you give, you will just have abundance. Because sometimes blessings look a little different. Stephen, if you would jump to verse 11 in Matthew 5, just jump to verse 11. Actually, 10 would be great. I'm just going to jump here because there's a little bit more that I want to share. But God is talking about you are blessed. And I just want you to be clear that this isn't just a prosperity gospel of everything's going to be great always, but you're blessed. But here's what else Jesus says that is blessed. You are blessed when? Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil because of me. Then the next verse is, it might not be in there, but it is, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The blessing doesn't always look like how we expect. But we are blessed when we give. There is joy in the giving. And I hope that as you walk away from today, you remember that you are giving your gifts to the Father. And even if they are small, don't judge that smallness, because God is big. And putting it in his hands, watch what he can do. But the last little piece I wanted to share is that the greatest gift the very greatest gift that anyone has ever given is Jesus dying for us, dying for our sins, taking the darkness out of us and bringing in his light. The greatest gift is the Father giving us his Son and saying, I'm going to cover all of your mistakes. I'm going to cover that. I'm going to pay for that. Jesus is going to pay for that. He is going to take the death. That is the greatest gift. He's like, Jesus will take death so you can have life. But how does that fit with it's more blessed to give than to receive? Because that is something we are receiving. And I make no diminishment of Jesus' gift. It is the greatest gift that has ever given. It is available to everyone. But the only way to receive it is to give your life to Jesus. To give your life to God. To receive the blessing, you must give your life to God. This is where the blessing comes. This is where the blessing comes. I thought that this message was going to be to encourage you to give more, to share more. And God said, I'm going to expand this, and it's going to be about giving everything, giving your everything and giving your all. And then in the last couple days, Jesus said, it's more than that. It's about giving your entire life. You are blessed when you give your entire life. Do you have that verse again up, Stephen, the Acts verse that we can read again together? It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself that said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I hope that you walk away today with knowing that giving yourself completely over to Jesus, that is where the blessing comes. It is available to everyone. The gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus, the gift of his light and freedom is available to everyone. We have to give our lives to him first to receive that blessing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we're going to pray together. And then I have something. Again, I told you I wanted to have some fun, so we're going to have some fun at the end here. But I just want to pray together. And I want to give you an opportunity to pray two different things. If you have already received Jesus in your life, I want to give you the opportunity to take a moment and pray and say, is there a part of my heart, though, that I've been holding back, that I have said is too little?